God bless you. Amen. I didn't know the mic was on. I just blurted out, you know. Yeah, it's been an awesome time with you guys. You have a sweet spirit about you, amen, collectively. And that's a good thing. That lets you know you've been with the Lord. Amen. And I'm just so thankful, amen, just to be here all this week, amen. But you know what? The grandbabies are calling. And mama's calling. My wife is calling. Praise God. But nevertheless, God has been good, and I'm so grateful. Let me go back down here because I need some help. You probably say, well, what you need help with, you'll see in just a minute. Praise God. All right, here we go. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Amen. I didn't think I would ever need these, you know. Because when you're young and full of zeal, you'll say, well, but I lasted till probably about in my 50s, so I was pretty good. Praise God. All right. How many know God is still moving on our behalf? Yes. Amen. Everybody's excited? Yes. Amen. God loves y'all so much. I've been eating rich this week. We've been all eating rich this week. The Holy Spirit's been faithful, pouring out His Spirit and giving us the things that we need. And I'm so excited about that. All right. Well, let's pray and let's get right into the Word tonight. Amen. Amen. Father, we just want to honor your presence. Thank you for these kings and priests that are called by your name. And thank you for this church, God. We thank you for Living Faith Ministries, God. We ask that you continue to allow it to be an open heaven over this ministry. Let the light continue to be on, Father. We thank you for what you're doing in Pastor Gordon and Debbie Brubaker, and that you continue to bless the both of them, this congregation. And Father, you know how to move in the midst of us, God. And we're asking that you move tonight. We yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, take this vessel, use it for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God, and let the word of God go forth unchecked, unhindered. Let the word of God be imparted in our hearts and our minds. Father, you said, this is the covenant that I would have with them after those days. I will put my laws in their hearts and their minds, will I write them. And you said, our sins and our iniquities, you said you remember no more. So, Lord, we thank you tonight, God, that this is maybe the last evening that I may see them, but it won't be the last time that your word, God, amen, will be given across this pulpit. And we're excited because the word of God, amen, is life unto our bodies, Father. And we give you praise for what you should do tonight. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. All right. All right. We've been talking about Faith Empowerment Week. Is that right? Amen. We talk about the purpose of us coming together. Amen. Our expectation of these meetings. Amen. This week is based upon hearing the word of God. How many know we've been hearing the word of God? Yes. Praise yes. God. Praise God. Some people get up and preach. They talk about a lot of other stuff. I'm like, what are they talking about? Amen. But we want to hear from the word of God. Is that right? Yes. So that our faith will increase to believe God's power will be made available to us, for us, and what? Through us. Amen. Now. Amen. Praise God. Also, we've been talking about, so when the Bible speaks of our faith, it consists of three things. We talked about that. Talked about our confidence, our confession, and our obedience. Amen? We talked about also God's faith starts with a word of promise. Y'all remember that? That was good stuff there because some people don't know that God has a faith word. Amen? That word is usually a promise that he gives us. Amen? So we're really excited about that. The other thing we talked about, amen, is about learning to process our faith, amen. Learning to use our faith is a process. I'm sorry. Learning to use our faith is a process. How many know it's a process? See, some people think that when they get saved, we get it all. We do get it, but we got to process it out. See, sometimes people stay in the faith confession of having it, but never get to the place of being discipled to the degree to learn how to use it. And that's where God's heart is right now. God wants to teach his people how to use it, amen, because it's important. How many know faith, amen, processing our faith is a working process, amen? Not only that, but we talked about learning to use one's faith last night to make you combat ready. Oh, yeah, how many know we were strapped up last night? We was like, oh, yeah, come on here now. How many felt empowered last night, you know, wanted to leave and go chase some devils around the city, amen? Instead of them coming to your house, you're going to look for them, amen? So tonight, what we're going to do tonight, amen, we're going to be talking about combat ready. Since we're combat ready, we want to establish the kingdom of God or the kingdom. Somebody say the kingdom. Amen. Sometimes it's interchangeable, but it's still the same. Let's look at some scripture here as we lay some foundation. Let's go to Luke, the 11th chapter. And you'll find out in the book of Luke 11, amen, Jesus is approached with his disciples come to him in Luke 11. And as you can see, amen, how many know that he did have disciples? That means he had a word disciple means a student, a pupil, or trainee. Amen. How many know that's important? We will use it today as a mentor, somebody who will mentor you. Amen. Into the things in which they've already been mentored in. Amen. Praise God. So here it talks about in Luke 11 and 1, and it said, it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, and when he had ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught what? His disciples. And they said to him, when you pray, Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day by day our daily bread, it says here, and forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. And this is interesting because when Jesus teaches them how to pray, he really gives them the mandate of his calling. His mandate of his calling, amen, is wrapped in the Lord's Prayer. You know, he could have prayed about a lot of things, but listen what he does. He begins to immediately tells them, mention our Father. So Jesus is really letting them know that his support system is from the Father. Is that all right? Because he's the Son. Amen. Not only that, but he tells them, amen, that the kingdom of God has to come. Amen. Praise God. Because the kingdom of God, you had to hear this, the kingdom of God is the will of God. The kingdom of God is the will of God. That's what he was saying. He was saying, your will be done, what, in earth as it's already done in, what, heaven. So in other words, earth should reflect heaven in terms of God being in control. You hear that? That's important because some people don't allow God to be in control, so we see other things in the earth, but that doesn't mean that God is not sovereign and still not in control. Is that all right? Sometimes in the mixture of our faith, we have to believe in the sovereignty of God. And the sovereignty of God means he's controlling things beyond your understanding. He's very much involved to the degree that every hair, if you got any left, praise God, amen. every hair follicle, amen, has been numbered on your head. Is that all right? Because that's how much he's involved in terms of our life. Now, Jesus preached the kingdom, amen, and he was really fulfilling prophecy. If you turn to Isaiah chapter number 9, amen, and verse number 6, Jesus is really fulfilling prophecy. It's amazing how the church has gotten away from what Jesus' mandate was. We have made it into so many other things like anointing, the ministry of healing. All those are byproducts of the kingdom. In other words, you can't have those things without the kingdom. Is that all right? Because most people, amen, what we've done, we've kind of dissected and gotten away from the kingdom and highlighted all the other things and not highlighted the thing that brings the source of everything is just the kingdom. Amen? And the Bible says that this message is going to be preached into all the earth. Amen. So eventually, everything has to come back to the kingdom. Somebody said, everything got to come back to the kingdom. See, the Bible says Jesus is the author, listen, and the finisher of our faith. So we have to go back to what he started and see that we hold to the end, that we finish it. Does that make any sense? Now, Isaiah 9, amen. How many know Isaiah is a prophet? The word prophet is a seer. Someone who can see into the future by way of the Holy Spirit. It's really reveals in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, it talks about the nine gifts, amen, of the Spirit. Well, one of them is the word of knowledge, amen. So the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, that's when God, amen, speaks to us about what his will is concerning the future. Is that all right? So it's interesting that most of those who were operating in prophecy, most of them operated in those gifts, amen, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of the Spirit. Those things, the Spirit of God was empowering them, amen, to be able to see, because Isaiah is what we call the eagle eye prophet. He was looking down in the century. He can see, and if you listen to what he was saying, you can see that he was seeing a lot further than where he was standing, praise God. Can y'all say amen? So it says here in the sixth verse, it says, for unto us a child is born. What's his name?
Jesus.
Don't be afraid to say it. And unto us a son is given. What's his name?
Jesus.
See, he wasn't even born yet. But he's prophetically telling us what the will of God is. Remember I said the will of God is the word of God. And anytime the kingdom has been released, it's released through God's word. Listen to what it says here. It says here, and the government shall be upon what? His shoulders, amen. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be what? No end. And upon the throne of David, upon the kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even from ever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Somebody say amen. So Isaiah is way back in time seeing Jesus. Ooh, glory. But not only he's seeing him, but he's seeing him represent a kingdom to bring a government in the earth. Is that making any sense? Not only that, let's go to what Jesus did. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 4 and 17. Matthew 4 and 17 as we begin to lay some foundation here tonight. And this is good for you to have this. Amen. Because foundation is always good. Amen. And Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 17, we're going to see in Gospel of Mark, amen, what Jesus was preaching. Amen. A lot of people are preaching a lot of stuff over the airways. You better hear me now. And a lot of it, what they're preaching, has nothing to do with what Jesus preached. It sounds good. Amen. It feels good. But you know what? It's not going to help us because we're not doing what God asked us to do in following the example that we have, which is who? Jesus. So it says here in Mark 4 and 17, amen, let me get over here. I don't think I'm there yet. Mark, I'm sorry, Mark. Did I say Matthew?
Yeah.
I did say Matthew. There I go again. Amen. Come on here now. Matthew. We'll get to Mark. Keep your finger in Mark. We're going to go to Mark in a minute. Matthew. I'm just getting ahead of myself. Amen. Matthew 4 and 17. I did say Matthew, didn't I? Help a brother out, Lord. Help a brother out. Amen. 4 and 17. All right. Are y'all there?
Yes.
It says 4 and 17, from the time Jesus began to preach. I'm going to say preach. And to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, the word preach, see, most we even get that messed up. The word preach means to proclaim.
Yeah.
We think preaching is, hell yeah, well. That ain't preaching. See how we are, listen. Our definition and what we've seen a lot of times, if we don't get the right definition behind what's going on, we assume that that's correct when really it's not. Somebody said, well, he's really preaching because he's tuning up, he's humming up, you know, and he get ready to go somewhere. And we say, yeah, we're all ready to go, you know. And then we get excited, amen. So preaching has many forms. And when I say preaching, it means to proclaim. So you can complain by standing here like I'm doing now and just flat forth and just teaching to you, amen. That's what we call teaching, amen. We have also, we can preach in terms of exhortation. And we get excited, so we're exhorting, amen. That's another way. We can also preach by prophecy, amen, given what the word of God says in terms of what he's revealing right now. Amen. So it's important that we understand that we don't put it all one label. Is that all right? That's what happened. We label. We're good for, the church is good for labeling stuff.
Oh, yes.
So that boy sure can't preach, you know. But you know what? What is he doing? Is he exhorting? He's a good exhorter. Amen. He's an anointing to exhort. To exhort means to encourage, to build up. Sometimes that comes on me sometimes, and you can hear me move from what I'm doing right now because I'm exhorting. I'm like a big cheerleader, and I got my pom-poms out, and I'm saying, go, Jesus, go, Jesus, go. And I'm telling you, you're the ones that need to carry out the plans. You can do this. You can do this. Amen. Are you hearing me today? So Jesus, basically, he was preaching, but preaching means to proclaim. He was using his mouth to make an announcement. Is that making any sense? And the Bible said he preached saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now you're going to see this interchange. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. So it kind of interchanges a bit, but it still remains the same thing. All right? Now the thing here, amen, as we go a little bit further, now let's go to Mark. Mark 4, amen. 14 and 15, amen. I tell you, I ain't going to lose all my marbles, praise God. Mark 4, amen, and 14 and 15. I think that's where I want to go, amen. Mark 1, that's right, chapter 1. I did, I caught it, I got it, amen, amen. 14 and 15, amen, praise God. Are you there? So Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now after that, John was put into prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching, here you go, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Y'all hear that? And saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, and repent ye and believe the gospel. Y'all hear that? So basically what he's saying, the gospel of the kingdom. There is good news about the kingdom. Yes. Amen. And we're in the kingdom. We got born in the kingdom, and we need to hear more good news about the kingdom. A lot of times we hear about the acts of Jesus and the things he's done, and all those things are good, but we need, if it's something that's going to empower you, amen, you need to know, amen, the four things I talked about before, who we are in Christ, what we received in Christ, how to appropriate the word of God in everyday living, and how to be an effective witness to those who are lost. Because God didn't save you just to sit on a pew. He saved you to empower you. Sitting is good. This is an educational, really, center. When we come to church, we come to get educated, empowered. It's like a big huddle. We come, we get to play, and then we go back out and run it. Is that all right? This is good. Turn to Luke 4 now, 4 and 42. Amen, Luke 4 and 42. The gospel of Luke 4 and 42. And Luke 4 and 42, amen, when you're there, just say amen. It says, and when it was day, he departed and went into the desert, and the people sought him, came to him, stayed with him, amen, and that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God. He said, I must preach the kingdom of God, what? To other cities also, for he said, therefore am I sent. Did y'all hear that? See, people were focused on the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, the anointing, and power, all that. But he said, that's a byproduct. He said, and sometimes we get focused so much on the byproduct that we miss the very message in which we should be focusing on and drawing from it. Because we draw from it, we get everything else that comes outside of that, inside of the kingdom. Is that making any sense tonight? Now, Jesus, amen, while we're in Luke, go to the 17th chapter of Luke, because he talked about the kingdom so much, he ran into a group of Pharisees, and the Pharisees, they like sin. That's why they're called the Pharisees. So they wanted to see the kingdom of God. Let's see what this says in the 20th verse, and it says here in Luke 4 and 17, it says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, amen, when the kingdom of God shall come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Are y'all hearing that? Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. This is powerful. Because we got two different mindsets here. Jesus talks about the kingdom, and they're thinking in their mind, location. 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 They were actually, Jewish people at that time, they were looking for the kingdom of God to be established, but they thought it was a natural kingdom. But they didn't understand it was a spiritual kingdom being established, not in Herod's temple, but it's going to be established in the hearts and the minds of men, women, and children all over the world. Is that making any sense? So here it says here, they demand it because they're thinking location when they hear the kingdom of God message. And this is important. Some people hear the word of God, but they run their intellect through the word. We run our intellect through the word. Now, a prime example of that is Nicodemus. Y'all remember Nicodemus? He's a smart man. Amen. Amen. He comes to Jesus by night. You know, because he knew that his colleagues, if they knew he was going to Jesus, they was going to give him a hard time. So he snuck at night to go see Jesus. And the reason he went, listen, he went because he seen the byproduct of the kingdom. people being healed and delivered and set free. So he knew it had to be a source tied to it. He knew it. He didn't know what it was. But so Jesus told him, he said, listen, you've been asking about the byproduct of all this, but he said, the only way you get the byproduct, you got to come into it. And we said, you have to come in, you got to be born into the kingdom. You remember that? He heard the word born into the kingdom, and this boy had nerve enough to say, you know, born again. That's what Jesus said. You got to be born again into the kingdom. Listen, because I like this, because when Jesus said born again, that means at one time we were already in the kingdom through the first Adam. Come on. But because what? Adam messed up. Amen. Jesus now had to restore what Adam messed up. That's why we, to be what? Born what? Again. Because in Adam we became spiritually dead. In Jesus we're awakened and alive again. Does that make any sense? So he tells him, you got to be born again. And he runs it through his intellect. He's thinking. At least he's thinking. I mean, what he get ready to say ain't right, but at least he's thinking. He said, born again. You said, you mean to tell me I need to find my mother? This is what he said. And crawl back up in her womb and come back out again. Because natural birth, that's how natural birth possesses itself. But spiritual birth has to deal with your heart, your spirit. Is that making any sense? So he was trying to understand. Jesus said, you got to be born of the water, which is the word, and also of the spirit. Is that all right? See, and the water and the spirit goes back, remember, to the woman that was at the well. And Jesus said, I'll give you what? Living. Come on now, give you what? In other words, the word of God is living, and it will cause something to have to be activated in you. And that's how we get born again. Remember, we get born again of the word. So the word regenerates us. It makes us alive again. Praise God. Is that making any sense? Now, it's interesting. You may want to write this down. What is the kingdom? I'm going to give you a definition of what the kingdom is. Miles Monroe, amen, God gave him a great revelation on the kingdom. As a matter of fact, his mandate was to preach the kingdom of God in revelation that God gave him. Amen. He's gone on to be with the Lord. He's got many books out, many teachings out. Matter of fact, some of his information I did glean from, amen, because at the time I was preaching kingdom. So when you're preaching kingdom by revelation, you're trying to find out others who are doing the same thing. Because sometimes you'll confirm one another because the Holy Spirit, amen, speaks the same thing. Yes. He's not going to tell her something different than what he tells me. It's going to always confirm itself by being one with the word. Amen? Yes. So the kingdom, what is the kingdom? The kingdom is a governmental influence of a king over a territory, imparting it with power, principles, laws, values, and morals, producing a community of citizens reflecting the culture and the lifestyle of the king. That'll preach right there. As they said that dog, praise God. Are you listening? How many want to hear that again? Y'all want to hear that again? I'll slow it down. Amen. Praise God. It said the kingdom, somebody said the kingdom, is a governing influence. Somebody said governing influence of a king. Over a territory, imparting it with power, principles, laws, values, and morals, producing a community of citizens reflecting the culture and the lifestyle of the king. I'd have preached. That doggone, praise God. Did y'all get this? Yeah. See, sometimes even it'd be good for you. And the pastor said something that's very, very important and is dear to my heart, is that I know that when we hear a message, sometimes you got to hear it over and over and over and over again. Does that make any sense? One of the things that God challenges me with when I go places to minister, because I have a lot of information that I can draw from, he won't let me do that. I want to. It's all laid out. But for years, he won't let me do that. He said, you have to come to me and get it. So with that, it's good because I know what he's doing. He's building like a library inside of me because I'm not drawn on something that I preached over here at this church to bring it over here to you. And sometimes it's delivered a little differently depending on what he wants. Because it's not what Ron wants, it's what he wants. He taught me that. I remember hearing wasn't Charles Stanley. One of the ministers, amen, had prepared a message. I can't remember his name. Maybe it would come to my mind. And he spent all day getting the message done, and he went out on the beach and was walking, and God said, God asked him, said, are you going to preach that tonight? He said he knew he was in trouble with God. So in other words, God didn't give it to him. Are you hearing me? It's really a challenge because it stretches me. And I need to be stretched. I don't want to be comfortable. I need to be stretched. Amen. You need to touch the neighbor and say, you need to be stretched too. Say in the right way. So remember, the kingdom is a governmental influence. So Jesus is preaching about an influence, but the influence is not from heaven. From earth. It's from heaven. He's talking about heaven's influence, ruling over in the earth to reveal its power, its principles, laws, values, and morals, with the result of producing a community of citizens that reflects the culture and the lifestyle of the king. Selah, that's the good stuff. Now, let me give you a scripture. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 8, and let's look at Ecclesiastes 8 and 4, just that one there, because when you talk about the kingdom, even in the natural, most people fail to realize that we're not talking about a location, but we are looking at the authority that comes out of the king's mouth. Is that making any sense? Now, what's important, amen, as we begin the Ecclesiastes 8 and 4, when you just there, say amen. It says, where the word of the king is, there is power, amen. Is that right? And who can say to him, what are you doing? It's very simple. It says, where the word of the king is, there's what? Authority or power. Amen. And who can say to him, what? What are you doing? Does that make any sense? See, when the Pharisees demanded Jesus, they wanted to see the kingdom. He was trying to get them on the right page that the kingdom of God comes not with observation. See, if you're looking for it, then you've been mistaught, misdirected, and can be deceived. Because there are a lot of people still looking for something, and it's already here. Does that make any sense? See, people looking for a move of God, and he already moved. Somebody said, well, how do you know he moved? Touch your neighbor and say, he moved in you. You're not the same anymore. God moved in you. If he moved in you, that means he stayed in you. He didn't just move like, and then left you void. Come on now. We've been learning all week how God has imparted things in us as believers. We're so loaded with stuff, we don't even realize what we have. And we're yet discovering that as God what reveals that to us. Amen. Turn to Psalms 107 and 20. Amen. Praise God. Psalms 107 and 20. Praise God. Amen. Psalms 107 and verse number 20. This is good stuff tonight. Praise God. Psalms 107 and verse number 20. When you're there, just say amen. It said, he sent his word. He sent his word. Come on now. Remember, where the word of the king is, there is. Come on. Now, he sent his word and healed them. It could have put a period right there. And then it says, and delivered them from their destruction. Isn't that powerful? The word, it has so many dynamics in it in terms of what it can do. Amen. The word can be our lawyer. If you need a lawyer, amen, it can lawyer you. Is that all right? Amen. If you need a healer, it can heal you. Praise God. If you need a counselor, it can counsel you. Amen. The word, amen, you can't limit the word of God. The word of God is what? Living and active. Amen. To the degree that it's there, amen, to function in and through us because it's the word of the king. Somebody said the word of the king. Now, I'm going to mess some of y'all up here because remember he said he sent his word, right? Turn to John 1 and 14, and we're going to see another way that he sent his word. Amen. Is that all right? Because in the Gospel of John, according to John, amen, John writes down chapter 1 and verse number 14, and the word was made flesh. Come on now. Amen. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten Father, full of what? Grace and truth. So the word becomes flesh. Mm-hmm. Part of the triune God broke rank. It was God the Father. God, when God said, let us make man in our own image, it was who was the us? God the Father, God the Son. It wasn't the Son, but God the Word and the Holy Spirit. And the Word said, I'll go down and take on flesh. Are you hearing that? And God said, I'm going to send my word, but this time when I send it, my God, I'm going to wrap it up in something. I'm going to wrap it up in flesh. See, devil, he thought he had us tied because of Adam's sin nature. The sin nature called all of us to be called sinners, according to Romans. Amen. And then because of the law was revealed to tell us how sinful we were. The law was never meant to deliver us from our sins. It was just a revealer of our condition because we didn't know how bad off we were. Paul said, I didn't even know I was a sinner until I read it. Are you hearing me? But God had to, he knew that the enemy had polluted the line, the bloodline of man. Ooh, glory to God. Polluted to the degree that he held us ransom. He held us for generations, amen. He held us bondage, and he knew that no man could break the rank because of the Adam sin nature that went from generation to generation to generation to generation. But God said, after 42 generations, my God, another, amen, man comes on the scene wrapped up in the word made flesh, not born of the will of man, but born by the will of God. And now we have the word wrapped up in flesh, and there's no Adam sin nature inside of it, none whatsoever in his spirit. Are you hearing me today? Amen. He is the man that came from heaven, amen, with the assignment to tell people that heaven is coming here in the earth. There's a new sheriff in town. Hallelujah. And Satan looks at him and says, well, he's flesh. I got him. I got him. I've dealt with flesh all my, I got him. Until he heard him open up his mouth. He said, oh my God. I didn't see this coming. He didn't know that God put the word in flesh until Jesus said that. He said, it is written. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's scripture truth. That came out of the mouth of God. So when he hearing Jesus talk, he hearing God. He said, oh. He said, I thought I broke that union. No, because of the mercy of God. And because God, he is the king, he can change the format of things. And who's going to tell him he can't do it? Are you getting this tonight? Oh, this is good stuff tonight. Y'all, amen, praise God. Are y'all still with me? Are y'all still with me now?
Yes.
Now notice if you stay over in John, go back up, amen, to the 12th verse. But many as received him, who was his name? Jesus. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And what's his name? Jesus. Amen. Again, this is John 1 and 12. This, amen, is powerful because we have to come to grips with. We have to come to grips with what we have. I mean, one time, there was a teaching going on years and years ago when people were talking about things like this. I need more anointing. I need more anointing. I need more anointing. I need more anointing. And then some people even got to the point, you need God, come and let me lay my hands on you so you can have my anointing. It was a mess. And God told me, he said, don't you get caught up in that, first of all. He said, Ron, if you learn the value of what you have received, you won't replace what's already valuable. If you learn the value of what you have received, you won't replace what's already valuable. Some people got it this way. It's Jesus plus something else, plus something else, plus something else, plus something else. So the Lord said, what's valuable in you? I said, Christ. He said, is he not the anointed one? I said, yes, he is. He says, there's all anointing originates from him. I said, oh, yes, he does. He said, well, where is he? I said, well, he's in me. He said, well, never say that you need more. He said, what you should be asking is, how do I release it? Andobosha. Hey. Yeah, because if it's down in there, it's like Prego. If it's, you know, it's in there, it's in there. We just got to get it, what we got to get it out. How do we get it out? Are you hearing me? Yeah. So that really saved me and saved me from buying people's cloths and all that other silly stuff that we do. Because we're looking for more because we haven't learned the value of what we have received. When you learn the value of what you have received, you won't replace what's valuable. Remember the woman swept the house because she was looking for that one coin? And when she found it, amen, because she knew that that was valuable. When you have something that's valuable, you concentrate on what's valuable. You not know when they train, I think it's De Beers or one of the diamond companies, when they train those who coming in to actually learn how to cut diamonds and things of that nature, they take them to school, but they never show them a false diamond. They show always genuine stones, sapphires. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, they keen the eye to see the genuine so much that when the false comes, you see? See, because when we start focus on not thinking that we don't have it, but he says we do have the Christ and say, I am anointed, that's not telling a lie. That's confirming what's inside of me. And if I say it enough, maybe I might start feeling like I'm anointed, amen, because I'm agreeing with what God is doing inside of me. Because of the agreement, the power of agreement and confession releases a power from God to us or even through us. That's what happened with the woman with the issue of blood. When she came into the power of agreement to believe God for her healing and she confessed it, amen, the Bible says when she touched him, virtue came out of him. She's the only one in the Bible that Jesus didn't say, you know what, I'm here to heal this person today. I'm here. She wasn't even on the radar. But she realized her confession because of covenant tied her to what he was carrying. And she kept saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. That was the exchange. That was going to be the withdrawal. If I can touch the hem. Obedience in my touch, amen, because I already confessed it. But if I touch him, I'm going to get what's inside of him is going to come in me. Does that make any sense? So sometimes we got to say your name and say, I am anointed. Yeah, don't be afraid. I am anointed because Christ is in me. The anointed one is in me. So if you don't claim it, amen, he's still there, but it ain't going to become operational. You say, well, how's that so? Because the Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that this man received anything from the Lord. So that receiving is the manifestation of it because he's already there. He can't deny himself. We deny him because we don't wrap our brains around to believe enough that this is true. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Praise God. And it's not for me. It's for me to say that, not for you to say that because you have to personally own what God gives you. Does that make any sense? So we have been given power. Somebody say power. Somebody say privilege. Privilege. And the right to establish his kingdom in us and through us to others. I like this because as many that has received Jesus, he gives us the power to become something other than what you are, other than what you're doing. He gives you the power. Amen. Amen. Because the power is of God, it's not of ourselves. Does that make any sense? Let's go a little bit further. Y'all still with me? Let's go to Colossians, amen, chapter number 1, verses 9 through 13, amen, amen. Colossians, amen, this is good stuff tonight, glory to God. We want to go to Colossians again, amen. Chapter number 1, verses 9 through 13. You're going to see a prayer that Paul prays to the church here. And the word church means ecclesia called out ones. See, sometimes our terminology is so wrong. Let me just touch on this for a minute, because some people don't like when I do this. But you know, it ain't about me. It's about what Jesus, amen. He wants clarity in his church. Clarity is keeps us from being deceived from different kind of motives that goes on in the church other than the enemy working. Sometimes it's our flesh working, because sometimes we want certain things and our motive is wrong. Amen. But Jesus said this when Peter gets the revelation of who Jesus is. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. He said, upon the revelation that you have received is how the church is going to be built. Yeah. There's going to be a man that's going to hear, or a woman that's going to hear the Spirit. And when they hear the Spirit, they say what the Spirit says. And that's how the church is going to be built. And he said, the church is not a building. This word church, amen. And we just talking about Matthew 16. He said, upon this rock I build my church. It's called ecclesia, which simply means called out ones. We have, some people have a label, I don't know, say label. They try to market Jesus as the only one to be in this church over here. You ever met folks like that? Jesus is over here, but he ain't over there. That's not what the scripture says. The scripture said, upon this rock I will build my church. When he says church, he's not talking about a denomination. He's not talking about a religion. He's talking about a people, amen, that he's going to put his heart, put the word in their hearts and their minds, and he's going to dwell in their tabernacle. They're going to be the tabernacle that he dwells in. He's going to tabernacle in flesh, in our flesh, amen. Are you hearing me today? Now, this is important. When we read this, listen to what he says in the 9th verse, amen. This is Colossians 1 and 9. And it says simply here, amen, as we begin to read, for this cause, Paul talks about, for this cause also, since the day we have heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So Paul was hearing that this church, amen, that was established, these group of people got saved. They got saved by hearing the message of Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they accepted him as Lord and Savior of their life. So they're saved. Remember, when God saves us, we have the power to become something. Does that make any sense? To many as received them, then he gave you what? Power to become the sons of God. In other words, it says here. It says here in what we just read, for this cause, amen, since today we heard it, that you got saved, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that you be filled. Because he said, now in order for you to grow, you're going to need knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. But see, the knowledge is of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When you talk about the knowledge of God and his will, amen, you have to understand that God wants to unload unto you his eternal plan. Why? There's 66 books in the Bible. There's 66 letters or books in the Bible. Amen. 39 is Old Testament. 27 is New Testament. New Testament means, testament means it's a covenant. Amen. There were covenants in the Bible. But before there were no covenants in the Bible when God created man. There was no need for covenant because there was no sin. And then man is in relationship with God because that's how God wanted at the beginning. Man had dominion over the earth as he co-labors with God. And God, amen, was going to minister through him, and they're going to minister to one another, and they're going to have this communion going on, and then he's going to have dominion in the earth, amen. But because of him, his disobedience, amen, one man's disobedience made us all become sinners. Because of his disobedience, the plan of God got turned upside down. So now God has to intervene. To intervene and put things in place, amen, that didn't really belong there, to bring us to the place that Christ can come and take over what Adam messed up. That making any sense? So he says here, listen, even though you saved, you got to come to the wisdom and the spiritual understanding of God. He said that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in knowledge. So remember, this knowledge is not head knowledge. This knowledge is when you learn how to do what God said you need to do, and it becomes a lifestyle. Principles, amen, are designed like keys. I tell people all the time, keys unlock things. They unlock things. There's keys in terms of forgiveness. When you don't forgive, listen, forgiveness, amen, is a spiritual law that keeps you out of jail. Because when you don't forgive, basically what you do, you go against the law of God. What is the law of God? What law of God tells us that we should forgive one another. Why? Because he forgave us. And then we'll say, well, you know, I don't want to forgive. They don't deserve it. Well, let me tell you something. You didn't deserve it either. So we forget how we receive it, because how we receive it, we should be giving it back to someone else. Peter had a problem where he said, well, how many times I got to forgive? Amen. He said, 70 times 70. He said, well, that's 490 times. So he said, in a day. Peter said, whoa. Because forgiveness is a matter of the heart. It's not a matter of the mind. It's a matter of the heart. It's when you yield, amen, and understand. Just like giving is not a matter of your wallet or your purse. It's a matter of the heart. Yeah. So when you practice, amen, forgiving people, you know what happens? You get real soft about things. You know, like that Play-Doh, you can move it around a little bit. But when you practice wrong, you get hard. You get hard towards what God told you, because the interference is you don't want to. I don't want to forgive them because they hurt me. And then you forget what his will was. His word should override what you don't want to do. Jesus said that many times. Not my will, but what? Your will be done. He had to tell himself that many times. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
11th verse. Strengthen with all might. Y'all hear that? According to his glorious power unto all patience. We were talking about patience last night. Mm-hmm. Y'all think patience is bad. Listen to his sister. Long suffering. Yeah, y'all thought patience was bad. Here come the sister, long suffering. You know, you have to deal with somebody. You say, how long God deal with? Long. You say, well, you say, God, how long? He said, keep on. It's going to be a little longer. Because if you had to ask him, he said, you ain't ready yet. Is that all right? It's called long suffering. Long suffering. It's not comfortable, but God is working something in your heart. He's teaching you, amen, amen, to let go of your self-will and grab his will so his kingdom, his word can be ruled through you, so you can be a light to those who don't understand this type of behavior, because it's different. The reason it's different, because it came from heaven. It came from a word, and now the word's in me, and now the words govern my conduct, my attitude, and behavior. I call it the CAB in God, the C-A-B in God, amen, amen. The C-A-B, conduct, attitude, and behavior. Behavior, amen. And that's what we need to process, because those are the things that help us receive the promises of God. Does that make any sense? Can we go a little bit further here?
Yes.
So with all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness. Thank God joyfulness showed up after long suffering. Could we be in critical condition if joyfulness didn't show up? Praise God. The Bible said, after you have suffered a while, he will strengthen you. Y'all hear that? See, you have to understand, you have to remember, even when you're going through your trial or in the place of that patience, and you move from patience now, you got patience now, long suffering has stepped in. You got to understand that that's not the end of the road. That's the part of the process so that the joy can come next. Amen. Is that making any sense? Amen. Now let's read a little bit more. I'm almost where we need to be. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Y'all hear that? He's talking about us being a part of the family. Amen. The family of God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one family in the earth, amen, that God recognizes, called the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Amen. And you know, those who have received Jesus Christ, we're all born into the same family. We all have the same DNA. If you're African, if you're Asian, amen, it doesn't matter, amen. If you're Chinese, it doesn't matter. If you receive Jesus, we all still have the same DNA, and that's Jesus. The blood of Jesus runs through our veins, amen. He is saved us from what we used to be, and now we're in the kingdom of God as a family and called the saints of the Most High God.
Amen.
Sanctified, amen. That means, God, we've been set aside for God's use. He set us aside. We didn't set ourselves aside. He set us aside and said, these are mine right here. Touch your neighbor and say, I belong to him. And when you renew your mind, you get out of who you are and how you grew up and all that. Because that's not important, because when you're in the kingdom of God, it overrides all that. It overrides all that. Does that make any sense? Let's go a little bit further. Y'all still with me? Mm-hmm. Where are we at? Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Y'all hear that? You hear that? He said, you were here, but through the resurrection power, I lifted you up from here and placed you in here. Isn't that wonderful? To translate something means to trans is a movement, to move. Mm-hmm. So here you say, he translated us, amen, and have translated us into the kingdom of it. He has actually put us right in the Word. Right in the Word. I said, right in the Word. Now listen, let's go a little bit further. It says here, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I've been forgiven now. I was forgiven back then. And in the future, if anything goes wrong, I'll be forgiven again. The only thing that keeps me not from receiving my forgiveness is me not confessing my sin. Confessing is when you tell on yourself. Confession is when you tell God what he already knows. He knew you were in the cookie jar. The evidence was not the crumbs on your face. He already knew you were somewhere where you weren't supposed to be. Why? Because God is omnipresent. See, you can't omnipresent whether you believe it or not. God, amen, his spirit is everywhere. He knows everything. He's omniscient. When Adam, amen, did the one thing that God told him not to do, him and his wife, the first thing he asked Adam, he said, he's giving them a chance to repent. Because God already knew. It wasn't no surprise to God. God was calling them. What is he calling for them? He's calling for communion and relationship. And they're hiding because their conscience has told them they did something wrong. Then he asked Adam, he said, Adam, did you eat of the tree I told you not to eat of? He's trying to get him to tell him what he already knows. He leads us to repentance. He leads us to repentance. Let me help you tell on yourself. I already know. I didn't fall out. I'm trying to get you to just confess it so I can release you from it. Oh, glory to God. And what did he do? I could smack him today. Because we could see another side of God that was there, which was mercy. We couldn't see it. He didn't have no clue of it. He was afraid to tell on himself. Adam, did you eat of the tree I told you need to eat of? Turn around and said, looked at his wife and said, the woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit thereof, and I did eat. That was an insult to God. You know why? This was telling God, you gave me this woman. It was me and you before she came. We didn't have this issue. I wanted to sleep. You took something out of me. I woke up, and now you said she's my wife. Hello, somebody. He said, the woman that you gave me. I didn't ask for it, but you gave it to me. But that's not what God asked him. He asked him, did you eat of the tree? Can you listen, you can never get beyond receiving forgiveness till you learn how to tell on yourself. Sometimes in our prayer closet, this should be more of us telling ourselves instead of praying and asking God for things. And then when we ask for forgiveness, he said, if we confess our sins, listen, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You mean to tell me I can go in guilty and confess and come out clean? All at the same time. That's powerful. Think about that about 2:30 in the morning. Amen. You might want to get a shout on. Amen. Last scripture, 1 Peter. Amen. My time is almost up, but I'm having a great time with you guys tonight. Amen. 1 Peter. Amen. We want to go to 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 9. I want to leave this with you because this is what one of the things that God wants us to be concerned about is what he says about us, who he says through the scripture we are. 1 Peter. Amen. Glory to God. Good stuff tonight. Chapter number 2, verse 9 and 10. Are y'all ready for this? But ye are a chosen generation, Mm-hmm. Touch your neighbor and say, I've been chosen.
I've been chosen.
My God. Amen. A royal priesthood. Somebody say, a holy nation.
Holy nation.
A peculiar people that should show forth his praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did y'all hear that? This praise is not a result of what you can get. It's a praise result on what you've already received. Yeah, there should be a praise in you because what you know God has done in you. Where you were, but where you are now. Amen. Praise God. Then it goes on and says here, which in time past we were not a people, but now we're the people of God. Mm. Which have not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. Did y'all hear that? This is powerful because what God wants us to remind us of, amen, that you know what? We've been chosen. I like when God chooses us. He chooses us through our confession through Christ. He hears the confession of Christ and he said, they're mine. Then he says, you know what? He said that we're part of a royal family. We come from kings.
Yes.
I like the movie Lion King. Y'all remember Lion King? And Simba. Y'all remember Simba? And all the little characters in it. Yeah. It has so much reflection of the church in it that sometimes we don't even see it. And here, Simba, he's a little bitty lion, and he looks just like his dad. You know, his dad, amen. Amen. He gets deceived, amen, because y'all know the other character, amen, in the line that wanted what to be king, but he couldn't be king, amen. And then he deceived them, got him away from his family.
Yeah.
Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
He's wandering around. He picks up a couple friends. Y'all know his friends, bro. Y'all right? But the thing that I like about it before we close tonight is that he finally runs into somebody who is the prophet. And I forget what that monkey was. It's some kind of monkey it was. But anyway, the monkey, amen, he was there. He was there at the birth, at his birth. And I like this part because he's running away from his dad because he thinks he's harming his dad. But I like the prophet. The prophet said, I seen your daddy. He got excited. He said, where is he? Because he think he did. He said, he's over there. So he runs over there. And finally, he looks in the water. He looks in the water, and he sees the reflection of his father, and he jumps back. See, when we really understand that we need to look at the water of God's word, and we see him in us. Is that making any sense? Yeah. And I like that because even though he's seen it, he still had a problem with it. And he's told the monkey, you lied to me. My dad ain't over there. And he simply told him, he said, he had a stick in his hand. And I like the way he got him to focus. Because the stick that the monkey had, he hit him square in his head. Notice, he didn't hit him in his foot because he didn't have a foot problem. He didn't hit him in his knee because he didn't have a knee problem. He didn't hit him in his hip because he didn't have a hip problem. His problem was his mind. I said that today to remind you that the problem sometimes we have is not a devil problem. It's just our minds don't believe that what this says is who we are. But this is who we are. We are the children of the Most High God. We got heaven's DNA inside of us. And it's crying out of you, amen, to do something beyond what you can ever imagine, and that's to trust in something other than yourself, which is to trust in God. Come on, stand on your feet tonight. I'm hoping that you got something out of this word tonight. Something that will help you realize it ain't about how strong you are, it's how strong he is inside of you, praise God. And that's what God wants us to focus on, amen. Amen. So, Father, we thank you tonight. It's been a joy, God, just laboring in your word, taking these scriptures and laying them out, us taking the time to read over them and breathe the breath of life through the scriptures so we can identify who we are in you and recognize, amen, that we are in a kingdom. We go to church, but we're in the kingdom. Amen. Some people get it confused. They think that the church is the kingdom. No. No, the church is the building, amen. But we are in the kingdom. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones, where the living God lives inside of us because of the blood of Jesus, amen. The atonement, amen, that we can cross over and build his tabernacle in the most holy place of man, which is our heart and our minds, God. God, we give you praise. We thank you for all that you've allowed us to do this week. And this has been a powerful, powerful time, God. We ask that you empower the people to remind them, amen, that who they are is what you say they are, and that's through Christ. Amen. And we believe the word of God, and the word of God says that we're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to your power that's working within us. Because the power is of you, not of God, Father. It's not of ourselves, but it's of you. And because it's of you, God, we can trust in you, because now unto you, Father, who's able. You're the one that's able, God. And we thank you. You said greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, God. So, Lord, we thank you for this great time that we have. Amen. Even the things you're going to do after the meeting, God. And reminding us, amen, to stand in your kingship. We're a king's kids, amen. We've been anointed, amen, to live a different way, act a different way. And you've given us the power to do so. We just had to say, not our will, but your will be done. Empower us, amen, to do your will in the earth, God. We thank you for our time together. Thank you for those who are sold and given. Let it come back unto them 100-fold, Lord. We pray even now that you bless our home. God, bless our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, God. Keep your hand up on us in ways that only you know how, and cause us to be successful. Let us walk in the favor of God. Let the favor of God move profusely upon us, God, that everything we put our hands to do will prosper, God. God, we thank you even now that all these things that you've been able to say and do in this city, we thank you even now as we release your anointing, amen, even in this house and upon this city, God, because the word of God has been preached, the word of God has been delivered. And we announce, Father, we give it back unto you as it says, one plant, one water, but God, you give the increase. Now, Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor and praise. This we ask now in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said,
amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Well, I tell you, you get preachers together. Have you ever tag team preach? That's so much fun, because one preacher just, he'll preach so far, and he's like, okay, that's what God gave me. Next one gets up, just takes right off. You know, we just add. And when you're like that, it's like, man, you just start seeing verses. I mean, as he's preaching, verses are coming up. So I'll limit it to this one. James 1, 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror in the water. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now that's where the monkey hits the Simba in the head with the staff. He says, but he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. In what he does. He will be blessed in what he does. Blessed in what he does. Because he's hearing it. He's looking at his reflection in the mirror in the water. Now they didn't have glass mirrors. They beat bronze and shined bronze up. And that bronze was like a mirror, and it gave them the reflection. So back in Jesus' day, they're looking at this bronze mirror. I mean, it's just there's nothing other can reflect in it but what is looking into it. As you look into that, you see yourself. And it's like, man, but we're not seeing ourselves. When you're looking in the law of liberty, when you see that, that's no longer me in that mirror. That's not a reflection of my physical man. That is a reflection of the God who lives in me. And I will not forget it. And because I will not forget it, I will walk in it and I will be blessed in what I do because my actions are now coming out of the reflection that I've seen of God in me, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, Father God, we give you praise tonight. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the living Word of God. Father, I thank you that your Word changes not, but God, your Word changes us. And it perfects us, and it brings us to that glory, Father, of who you are in us. We release that Word, Father, in us, that living Word, to change us, to transform us, God, to translate us from one kingdom of the world into the kingdom of your dear Son. And God, we have been translated, but we are translating to that fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this, God, we give you the praise and the honor in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said again, amen. Hallelujah.